keeping farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Mike Pearson.
Hello, folks, and thanks for making AOA a part of your day today. Over the past several years, since the end of the trade war with China and the signing of the Phase One Agreement, they have been prodigious buyers of American commodities. And notably, they have been very large buyers, not just China, but all of Southeast Asia, of American protein. Red meat exports have soared to the Asia-Pacific region. Here we are, March of 2022, and that region is starting to address COVID and the outbreak of COVID, really for the first time. To bring us up to speed on what all this might look like for red meat demand going forward, we're joined now by Joel Haggard. He's the Senior Vice President of the Asia Pacific region for the U.S. Meat Export Federation. He's joining us live from Hong Kong. Joel, thanks for talking to us today.
Great to be here.
For our listeners here in the U.S. who maybe aren't plugged into what's happening there in Southeast Asia, give us an update. As COVID has started to spread, how are Hong Kong, China, other countries in the region responding?
Sure. Well, it's an interesting story because it seems like in the United States and the Western world, COVID is very much in the rearview mirror. But just think of Asia as being in kind of the April 2020 phase, where it's really experiencing very high cases. It's experiencing this Omicron subvariant, which is very transmissible. Asia has very dense urban populations. So, it's moving in a big wave, but it's moving through fast. So, and every different market is on a different schedule for COVID. Hong Kong is probably coming off of its peak. Korea's coming off of its peak. Southeast Asia had its peak a couple of weeks ago, is starting to open back up to travelers. And so we're probably on the backside of this. The one country that's a little bit concerning because they have a policy of trying to maintain zero infections is China.
Yes, and that's not working. We saw it was announced, I believe, earlier today, 2,200 plus new COVID cases in China and potential reports that those might be understated. Joel, where does China go from here with this COVID zero policy in place?
Well, they're maintaining that they're going to try to stick by zero COVID. But, you know, again, they're experiencing, like you said, 2,000 cases and they don't count the asymptomatic cases. So it's really 5,000 cases. But it's from what we heard today, every week we have a call with our China staff and it's pretty disruptive at the moment. It's difficult for people to move around in cities and between cities. It's affecting logistics a little bit for our products moving around. Everyone's a little bit on a knife edge. They had some panic buying yesterday in Shanghai, which has never been under a full lockdown. So just a little bit on edge at the moment, but the policy is to stick to zero COVID.
Okay. Joel, as you think about what this could mean for meat demand, of course, parts of Asia have been under some form of lockdown for the past 2 years and beef purchases have been good. Is that concern growing here as you look out in 2022? Could we see red meat exports to Asia start to slow?
I'm still pretty optimistic, and mainly because you're seeing our other big markets in the region really perform strongly so far this year. And I'm really talking about Korea and Taiwan. China's been good in the first quarter in terms of buying. Remember that yes, the restaurants are hit hard by COVID, but then people are flocked to retail. And in Asia, you have a very sophisticated, perhaps even more sophisticated than in Western countries, a very sophisticated e-commerce culture. And so people are buying the meat for home consumption. This is a pattern we've seen throughout Asia, and especially again in Korea and China. So I'm remaining optimistic because this wave is probably beginning to come down. China's again a little bit uncertain, but we're still seeing the orders come in because of that strong retail business.
Well, that is good news. As you think about China, Joel, and in your conversations with your staff on the ground over there, we've heard a lot about the Chinese hog herd rebounding. And then we heard this past year that margins were terrible and some producers were looking perhaps to exit the hog industry once again. Can you provide us some background? What is happening on the ground in the Chinese hog herd right now?
No, exactly. Well, it looks like there's two things going on. There's just there's a surplus of hogs at the moment. And, you know, some of us forget that this is really the slow consumption period of the year. So it's usually a pretty ugly month for pork consumption. And this is the post-Chinese New Year, Lunar New Year season, which takes place in February. So, you know, we have the seasonal lows compounded by weak consumption overall, and that's probably COVID related to some extent. And then there's still just too many hogs. That herd rebuilt really fast. And so you had that fast herd rebuild compounded with slow consumption. And it's been a pretty poor market over the last couple of months. But there is, you know, at some point, the situation is going to turn because they will have culled their breeding herd, and the market will rebound. And let's remember, the China hog market is one of kind of these boom and bust cycles. So I still think that there's optimism out there about the second half of the year, prices rebounding. But at the moment, they're in a cyclical trough. There's no question about it.
Well, Joel, let's look out here through 2022. One of the concerns we hear domestically in this country is that higher fuel prices are going to be taking some dollars out of consumers' pockets, might limit their ability to purchase beef at the retail level. In China, in Hong Kong, in Southeast Asia broadly, are there similar concerns about fuel or energy costs displacing some of the dollars that Asian consumers could spend on red meat?
Yeah, it's interesting because remember that a lot of people in these Asian countries don't own cars in the cities. It's unlike the United States. However, that said, they're experiencing the same type of food inflation that everyone around the world is. So yeah, these are questions. I'd say it's not so much a fuel versus food kind of question in Asia, but and inflation is a concern. On the other hand, buyers in Asia of beef, what we're seeing so far this year, you know, they're afraid of prices going higher. So we have seen pretty aggressive buying during Q1 in places like Korea and Taiwan, for example, who kind of got left in the dust last year. They said, oh, well, prices are going to come back down pretty soon. They just can't keep going higher. They did go higher and they kind of got left out. So we've seen some pretty decent buying, simply because people think prices are going to go higher. And now I'm talking on the importer side. And, you know, hopefully the consumer will maintain their consumption habits. The economies are still performing pretty well. So overall, I think there's still a pretty good base, demand base there.
And Joel, you've mentioned Korea a few times. Beef exports to South Korea have been phenomenal through 2021. It appears as though that's continuing here in 2022. How much of this do you think is being driven by that reduction in tariff that was accomplished under the Korea-U.S. Free Trade Agreement?
Well, there's no question that lower tariffs equal greater demand. That means lower prices to consumers. That feeds through. But I mean, there are these longer term structural issues that are happening. From my observation, Korea is probably the most sophisticated e-commerce market that I've seen anywhere for foodstuffs and for meat. Consumers are very savvy. They order from a wide variety of SKUs available online, and this is chilled meat. It's delivered very quickly to their homes. So, you know, throughout the pandemic, these disruptions to food service have really translated into almost, just compensated outright by this increase in retail buying online. So, and Korea just seems to go from strength to strength, and overall beef consumption is increasing.
That is good news. Real quick, before we let you go, Vietnam, that strength continues. Do you see that predominantly as a market for U.S. pork here over this next year?
Yes, I mean, Vietnam's a very tough market for us right now. They're getting product from Russia, for example. It's been a price market. They got pretty hard hit by COVID. They had African swine fever problems. Prices of their domestic products have kind of seesawed up and down. That's pretty challenging right now. But again, we see their COVID problems waning in the months ahead, and we really hope it'll come back, both for beef and pork. And U.S. pork pricing, we think, should move more to the favorable side, because the EU is having problems on costs of production on hogs, and their herd is down.
Lots of variables at play. Thanks to Joel Haggard. He's a senior vice president of the Asia Pacific region for the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Joel, thanks for joining us today.
It's my pleasure.
And folks, stick around when AOA returns. Arlen Zuderman of StoneX will join me, and we'll talk about the rally that's happening across the grain and oilseed sector today. Stay with us on AOA.